Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message.
We're going to do something a little bit different today. Donnie's not here. He had to step out, so I'm going to read a little note from him. It says, "Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for attending today's lunch. Unfortunately, I was called away to assist someone with an important matter, and I'm unable to lead us today. This being last minute, I was unable to get a fill-in speaker. However, I was able to get a notable person to lead you today that has had a big impact on my personal faith journey. With the Super Bowl this weekend and our Super Bowl of racing next weekend, what better person to listen to and be encouraged by than Super Bowl champion Tony Dungy? So welcome, Mr. Dungy, to the big screen."
His football career began as an NFL defensive back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. As the head coach for 13 seasons between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Indianapolis Colts, he amassed a total of 148 victories, including the Colts' Super Bowl 41 win. Since retiring, he has served as an analyst on NBC's Football Night in America and became the national spokesman for the fatherhood program, All-Pro Dad. In 2016, he was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. And now, as a member here at Grace Family Church, please welcome Tony Dungy.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Boy, it is so awesome to be here. I met a lot of people from different campuses, from people that don't even go to Grace, all over the state of Florida, people from out of state. It's just been awesome. These last 2 days have been fantastic. I've loved it because two reasons. Number one, we've got to talk about real life and what you guys are going through. And number two, to share a platform with Dr. Tony Evans. It's just amazing. I love Dr. Evans. Actually got to meet him over 40 years ago. I was a youngster in my 20s and kind of had the same experience that you guys have had. He spoke to us and it made an impact on me as a young player. He kind of went through the same thing that he went through. He got on one of those where he's going real fast, and he said, you know, "I'm up here talking to you guys, and you expect to see Christian action, you expect to hear Christian words because I'm a pastor." He said, "But guess what? When I leave here and I go home, I'm gonna be a Christian dad. And then when I go across the street, I'm gonna be a Christian neighbor. And when I go to the shopping center, I'm gonna be a Christian shopper. Okay, and when I travel on the airplane, I'm gonna be a Christian traveler." And he went for about 10 minutes on all these things. And he said, "Well, the point is, I'm a Christian all the time. Christian first, no matter where I am, what I do. Now, what about you?" And I was there thinking in my seat. This is a chapel service before a game. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm a Christian most of the time. But when that guy blocks me in the back and I turn around like that, I'm not really a Christian. Or when that official calls pass interference and I didn't touch the guy and I want to do that, I got to be a Christian. Well, that changed my life. Okay, that changed my life because I said, now, if I'm going to call myself a Christian, I got to be a Christian all the time. Okay. Being a Christian all the time takes grit. Okay, and we've talked about that all weekend. And I saw the guys come down and kind of do what I did and say, hey, I got to change, I got to recommit, I got to get back in alignment. And I just want to make one point for you here today, that if you do that, it's fantastic. It's the best thing that's going to happen to you. But, I got to give you the bad news along with the good news. The bad news is it's not going to be all smooth and easy. It's going to take a little grit on our part. There's a misconception. People think, oh, you accept Christ, you get in alignment, Jesus makes everything smooth, makes everything easy. A lot of people sell that, and a lot of people expect that, and you know what? They get disappointed because reality sets in, and it's not all smooth. It's not all easy. You heard Pastor Adam talk about going to India and having his son develop this syndrome, and guess what? That happens. So it's a mistake not to expect that because the Bible tells us that here on earth, this life is going to be difficult. This past week on Twitter, this coach posted something he read from my book, and it really made me kind of gratified, made me proud that somebody was reading my post, number one, reading my book. But look at what this guy said. And this will be the next slide. Hopefully we get it. Yep. He's quoting from one of my books. He said, God doesn't promise us a life with Jesus as our Lord will protect us from harm, pain, and stress. What he does promise is to be our rock to lean on, to share our burdens and to find rest and to walk alongside us and when necessary, to carry us in his arms. And I said, wow, that's great. And then I wrote that. That's pretty awesome because God, what it's saying there is God does not promise us a smooth walk. What he does promise is he's going to walk with us. And that ought to encourage us. That ought to give us grit. Yeah. One of my favorite Christian artists in the world is a guy named Torrin Wells. How many of you heard Torrin Wells? Yeah, awesome. If you haven't heard him, he's a lot like Pastor Darrell. He's super talented. He's got a great voice. He can play multiple instruments. And he's just super, super talented. But I guess my favorite part, he's from just that far from my hometown in Michigan. So we're kind of brother Michiganders, and I love Torrin. But he's got a song that has really connected with me. I love to listen to it because it speaks about the journey we're on, and it's called Hills and Valleys, okay? And it's awesome. In it, he describes getting these blessings from the Lord, but he also describes walking through tough times. And that is so true. And to show you how true that is, I want to just use my story a little bit. And kind of like Dr. Evans, I don't want to do it to brag, but I want to show you some biblical truth. Because many people will look at my life today, and people tell me this all the time, oh, you've been blessed by the Lord. And you know what? I have. I've been tremendously blessed. I grew up in a Christian home. I got to understand that God was in control. As a young boy, I accepted Christ, but like Dr. Evans said, I was out of alignment in high school and college because I was so focused on being an athlete and being a student and graduating. God was over here in my life. I was just a little bit off. Well, I got to the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1977, and I got with a group of guys who got me back in alignment because you know what? They were focused on the Lord. They were trying to win Super Bowl rings, but they were focused on the Lord. So they're invite, hey, you got to come to Bible study. You got to come to chapel. You got to put the Lord first in your life. And I did that in 1977. And when I committed my life to the Lord and got back in alignment, I got a ton of blessings, ton of blessings. I want to show you some of them here, okay? This is what happened to me in 1977. I commit my life to the Lord as a rookie. Next year, we win the Super Bowl. I led the team in interceptions. I had never played defense before. That's either lucky or a blessing, right? Okay. 1981, I got hired as an NFL assistant coach. At the time, I was the youngest coach ever to be hired in the National Football League, 25 years old. That same year, I met a girl named Lauren Harris, beautiful girl. How did I meet her? Some pastor introduced me to her. Okay, blessing from the Lord. Next year, we got married. We've been married 41 years now. Beautiful journey, okay? 1984, 3 years later, I got named defensive coordinator. Again, youngest ever at that time in the National Football League. Later on in that year, our daughter, Tierra, was born, first of 11 children. They've been tremendous blessings, okay? Raising those kids, being a coach. 12 years later, I get named head coach of the Buccaneers, get to come to Tampa, live in the sunshine, get out of the cold weather and the snow, awesome blessing. Okay. Stayed here 6 years, 2002, named head coach of the Colts. I told you the story, man called me and asked, how much do you want? Blessing. 2000, A little bit. 2006, we win the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 41. First African-American coach to lead a team to the Super Bowl. Okay. 3 years later, retired, didn't know what I was going to do. NBC calls, they hire me on Football Night in America 13 years in a row. We're the number one rated show on primetime TV. Hard to believe. Okay. 2016, you saw it, inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And then last year, one of my greatest thrills, been asked to be keynote speaker at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Spoke to about 450,000 people about how sacred life is, and it was awesome. Now, you could look at that list and say, wow, all that happened just because you got realigned with Christ. If that's what I want to do, man, who wouldn't want to be a Christian with that? But I have to tell you, that's not the whole story. That's not the whole story. That's the public side. That's the side we see. We don't always see the private side, just like Pastor Adam was talking about. I've had some disappointments along the way, too. If I only focused on the good things, you'd say, wow, that's great. If I told you the disappointments, you might want to think twice about it. Let me show you that, okay? This is what I call 47 years of disappointments, okay? 1977, I told you, I realigned with Christ. First thing that happened to me, I got mononucleosis. Okay, we're getting ready for training camp. Blood test comes back. They said, you can't practice. Can't practice? Well, maybe that's a good thing. I'll get a little rest. No, you can't run. You can't work out. You can't lift weights. You can't even jog until you get your blood count back. I'm 6 weeks, 8 weeks. How am I going to make the team? How am I going to make a living? I can't even jog. Man, Lord, what are you doing? Well, I recovered from that. We won the Super Bowl in 78. I'm on top of the world. 1979, I got traded from the Steelers, who were a Super Bowl team at that time, to who was the worst team in the National Football League at that time. Went to the San Francisco 49ers. We won two games in 1979. While my buddies were winning another Super Bowl ring, I was going 2-14 with the 49ers. Next year, I got traded again to the Giants. I got cut by the Giants. I was 25 years old and out of football. That's how I got hired as the youngest assistant coach, because I got cut. Got hired, was there 8 years. In 1989, I was fired by the Steelers. Had to move, go to Kansas City, rebuild my career, start over, end up going with Denny Green in Minnesota. Things are going great. 1995, people are talking about me possibly being a head coach. For the fourth time, I got passed over. I got interviewed in Jacksonville. They didn't hire me. Said, what is going on? And I can't get a job. What's happening? What are you doing, Lord? Finally get here in 1996. Okay, stay here 6 years. The end of my last year here in Tampa, 2002, my mom dies before the last game of the season. My mom died from complications of diabetes. Tough. Okay. 2 weeks after that, I got fired by the Bucks. Okay. Go to Indianapolis. Things are going well. 2004, my dad dies from leukemia. Was totally healthy, swimming 3 miles a day, 74 years old, picture of health. 6 weeks later, died from leukemia. The next year, we're 13-0. Probably going to win a Super Bowl. My son dies at 18 years old. Okay. Tough times, but we recover from that. We win our Super Bowl. I'm working at NBC. Everything's going great. 2 years ago, 2021, I had two mini strokes back to back. Very short, less than 30 seconds. I couldn't feel my right hand. What's going on? Okay, I got now implant in my heart in my chest to monitor my heart. I'm on blood thinners. Lord, what's going on? I'm totally healthy. You know, how is this happening? Well, if you look at that and you say, that's what you get from following the Lord, that's what God's going to do, just leave you like that, give you all those disappointments. If I only talked about those times, you'd say, well, is it really worth it to be a Christian? But that's what Tornwell's song is all about. It is ups and downs. Sometimes you're going to be on the mountain. Sometimes you're going to be in the valley. And if you could see what my life was like really walking with Christ, this is what it's like, okay? It is exactly hills and the valleys. Now, we don't have it in color, but, okay, the regular printing is on the mountaintop. okay? The bold is in the valleys, and you can kind of see how it goes, okay? You're on the mountain for a while, and things are great, you get sick. You win a Super Bowl, you get traded. You get hired as a young assistant coach, you meet your wife, it's awesome, you're loving life, you get fired, okay? Next slide is still going, okay? Same thing, that's about 20 years there, okay? Keep going, next slide, 20 more years. Same thing, ups and downs, loved ones lose. Your head coach, you win a Super Bowl. Son dies, okay? Ups and downs, hills and valleys. How are we gonna handle that? Yes, blessings, but also trials, also tests. Definitely been in the high mountains, definitely been in the deep valleys. How in the world are we gonna handle that as men? Well, first thing is, we have to know that these ups and downs are coming. You have to be ready for it. That way you won't get caught off guard. And we should be ready for it because Jesus has told us that's what's going to come. I love John chapter 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples. They're talking about what they can expect. Should we follow this man or not? And Jesus told them in verse 33, "Hey guys, I have told you all these things that you may have peace in me." Get that, peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, and some translations even right there say, be of good cheer. Take heart because I have overcome the world. So what's Jesus saying there? He's saying, hey, as a follower of mine, as a Christian, you get aligned with me, like Dr. Evans said, what can you expect? Jesus said, you can expect some sorrows. You can expect some trials. Why? Because you're on earth. You aren't in heaven yet, okay? You have this guy named Satan that you got to deal with, okay? And Satan doesn't want to see you be successful. He doesn't want to see you lead your families the right way. He doesn't want to see you be part of a growing group in church. He's going to try to turn you away from God. And what is he going to use? He's going to use sorrows and trials, and that's the way he does it. Okay. You all know the story of Job. Job is following the Lord, and Satan goes to God and said, the only reason he follows you is because you bless him. You take some of those blessings away, he'll turn his back on you. And God says, no, he won't, because he's got grit. And Satan says, let's see how much grit he's got. And he comes after Job, destroys him. But Job stays with the Lord. That's what Satan will do. He's going to torment you. He's going to afflict you. He's going to come after you. But what did Jesus tell his men? Be of good cheer. Take heart. He can't deal with you because I've overcome Satan. Okay? And that's what we've got to count on. That's what's got to give us that grit. So some of these trials that you're going to get, they're going to impact you for a while, but they won't be permanent. Okay? God wants you to know that. Some of these trials come from Satan, but some of these ups and downs, some of these things don't only come from Satan. Some of them the Lord can give us. Now, Satan gives them to us in trials, okay? God gives them to us in tests, and there's a difference. This is what I like to say about tests and trials, okay? Trials come from Satan to pull us away from God, okay? Tests come from God to draw us closer to him, okay? Remember the story in Genesis 22, God told Abraham, I need you to sacrifice your son Isaac, okay? That was a test, okay? Abraham had waited 25 years for this son. God had promised him a son. He waited, nothing's happening. He finally gets this son after all that time, and God says, hey, that's good, that's great. You love your son, I wanna see how much you love him. You love him more than you love me, I need to test you, sacrifice that son. Well, Abraham was ready to do it because he believed God. God didn't make him go through with it, but he wanted to see where he was, so he gave him that test. And sometimes he'll test us. That way he'll test us with difficulties. Sometimes he'll test us with success to see how we handle that, see if we love success, love our job, love finances, love all that more than we love him. He gives us those kind of tests. Well, how should we respond? How should we respond to the trials? How should we respond to the tests of success or disappointments. That's what Tarn Wells is talking about in the song Hills and Valleys. I want you to look at some of these lyrics because he's telling us exactly how we should respond. This is one of my favorite parts of the song. It says, on the mountain, I'll bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I'll lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. That's really a great description of how we should handle things as Christians. When we have the good times, the tremendous blessings, the things that seem too good to be true, we need to realize that God's the one responsible for it, not us. We need to stay grateful. Amen. Amen. When we get those tremendous blessings, we need to stay grateful. We need to be humble. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. How do you do that? Well, I like to remember the scripture. We've been in James a little bit back and forth. James chapter 4 has a great scripture that says this: humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. And that's a reminder not to let pride creep in. And it's so tempting. It is so tempting. But to give honor and glory to the Lord. I remember we were winning Super Bowl 41, and there's like a minute and a half left, and we're up by 12 points. So we're going to win the game. And I remember on the sideline thinking, man, we're going to win the Super Bowl. How about that? But just then it hit me, and this scripture came back to me: humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So we do win the game. We have the trophy presentation. Jim Nance from CBS is interviewing me. And what's it feel like to be the first African-American coach to win the Super Bowl? And because I had had time to think about it, I said, thank you, Jim. That means a lot. But I can tell you this, for Lovie Smith and me, it means more to represent Christ here and do it the Lord's way. On the mountain, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. Conversely now, what about those times we get the disappointments or attacks or the problems? And he says, no, keep your eyes on Jesus because he's going to be with us. And he'll be the answer. He'll be the one that will help us out. Yeah, we need the grit to be faithful and hang in there. But Jesus is the one that's going to lead us through. And the Bible promises us that no matter what that valley looks like, Jesus is always going to be there. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us that. One of my favorite verses, 13, starting in the middle of verse 5. It says, for God has said, I will never fail you. And that's a promise. It's a promise. If you don't get anything else from this conference, write that down. That's a promise from the Lord. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Okay. When you're having problems, when you're having disappointments, when your son has that syndrome, when it's snowing in New York where Pastor Adam was, hey, God is with you, okay? He's not going to let you down. So we need to rely on those promises. We don't need to get overly concerned about our circumstances. If God has promised to be with us, we don't need to worry. We don't need to be afraid. Now, I know that's easy for me to say standing up here, okay? It's tougher when it's you going through those circumstances. It's, yeah, hey, don't worry, relax. Jesus got it. I know it's not that simple when you're getting in a crisis. So what can we do practically? What can we do in real life when we need that grit, when we're facing those tough moments that I showed you earlier? When you're sick, when you get fired from your job, when you lose a loved one, what can you really do? Well, I think in those times, the best thing we can do is stay in communication with God. Okay? Talk to him. Tell him, God, this hurts. These people fired me. Okay, we had the best four-year record of any Buccaneers team in history, and they fired me. Lord, that hurts. Okay, that's not right. So I'm gonna tell you that. But then you got to listen. Listen to God. Hear his voice. And for me, the best way to hear his voice is in the scriptures, okay? He wrote it. Okay, that's him speaking. Yeah, it might have been Paul who wrote it, or James, or John, whoever, but that's God's voice. So in those tough times, make sure I go back to that. And for me, some of the first verses that I turn to when I'm in trouble, I'm going through troubles, are ones we've talked about from the book of James. James chapter 1, I love what verse 2 says. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Okay, now you look at that. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you say, "This man's crazy"? Yeah, what is he talking about? It doesn't make sense at all. How can I be joyful when I'm in trouble? Why would I be joyful? But even more than that, how can I be joyful when I'm getting blasted by the world? Okay, I just lost my mother. I just got fired. I'm sick. I'm in the hospital. My son's sick in the hospital. How can I be joyful? Well, a little further down, James tells us how to do that. Verse 12, he says this. He said, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation." And here's the key. Afterwards, that is, after they go through it, after they endure it, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, that's a promise there, and that's something that can help us. Because if we believe that, if we believe that God has blessings for us when we're under fire, if we believe that if we're patient and we don't give up, that God is going to bless us, that's a reason to be joyful, and that's a reason to have grit. Well, Lord, just let me make it through, because you got this blessing for me. So when I'm struggling, I don't understand things that are going on. I don't understand these problems. When my mom's in the hospital, she's hooked up to this dialysis machine, and I'm saying, "God, I don't understand this. I just need to know he's going to bless her, and he's going to bless me if I'm patient, if I'm faithful, and if I'll endure and I'll stay with him to the end." Now, he's not talking about some unrealistic Pollyanna, nothing's wrong. No, not at all. He says, "I know you're suffering. I know you're hurting. I know it's painful. But understand, I've got the future in my hands. And the future for a Christian is always bright. No matter what's going on now, the future," he says, "I've got future glory for you. I've got future crowns for you." That comes through in Romans chapter 8, really crystal clear. Romans 8:18. Look what Paul writes. He says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." God is saying, you might be hurting. It may be tough. It may be difficult. You might be getting persecuted. They might not understand you on your job. You might not have a job. Whether it's your fault, whether it's not your fault, it doesn't matter. God knows we're going to suffer. He acknowledges it. But he says, you know what? Don't ignore it. But understand, it's not permanent, okay? It's not permanent. He wants us to know what he's got in store for us. Amen. You can clap for that. Hey, you're my son, and I have glory for you. I have crowns. I have rewards. I have blessings. All you have to do is be my son and be faithful and stick with me. And like Dr. Evans said, if I can stay with my earthly dad, I really should have confidence staying with my heavenly dad and staying with him side by side, even though the times might be difficult. And then, of course, later on in that chapter, verse 28, we all know that and we've heard it. But again, it should be a blessing to us to think about that. And we know, Romans 8:28, God causes everything. Everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. So he's saying, if we love God, if we're committed to being aligned with him, with his purpose, then God's going to work everything that happens for good. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be good. It doesn't mean it's going to be fun, okay? But God's going to work it for his good, first of all, okay? And for our good, secondly. And there's even more encouragement a little few verses down, 10 more verses down in verse 38 of Romans 8. Paul says, I am convinced nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels, demons, neither our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky, nothing on earth below, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus our Lord. So as Christians, we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice in this fact. There's nothing anybody can do, nothing Satan can do, nothing anybody on earth, no person, nobody can separate us from Jesus and his love. That should be very comforting, but in fact, that should be just mind-blowing for us. That should allow us to have that grit to make it through those tough times. And that's the last line in Torrin Wells' song, and the line that gives me so much comfort. Very end of the song says this: you're the God of the hills, you're the God of the valleys, the God of the hills and the valleys, and I am not alone. And I am not alone. No matter where we are, no matter what's going on in life, Jesus has promised to be with us. So, whether you're enjoying tremendous blessing or whether you're under attack, we can count on the fact that we are not alone. Jesus is with us every step of the journey. Again, that should comfort us, that should give us motivation, give us the drive we need to persevere through any storm that hits us, because we know we're not walking through ourselves. Jesus is walking right with us. So as we go, I would encourage you. We're in a great huddle here, okay? We got some great information. We got a fantastic play. We got the best play in the world. The perfect play has been called for us. But you know what? We got to go out there and line up, and we got to run the play. Okay? Are we going to do that? Are we going to have the grit to go out and run the play? Let's go.
So I hope you enjoyed that. I just walked in, but what better guy to speak right before the Super Bowl, right? Y'all don't need me, but I appreciate y'all staying through that. I've been in the valley with someone this morning, and so it was great for Mr. Dungy to step in. I don't think he knows he did, but let's take what he said, right? Really good message, right? This is our life. But let's don't forget what God's called us to do. I want to pray for us real quick. God, thank you for this group, for being so faithful. We thank you for a man like Mr. Dungy that's so faithful to his calling and the position he's in. And just as he said, we all end up in the valley. We end up on the mountaintop. But ultimately, God, you want us to pursue and follow you. So help this group to do that as we go through this week. We think about our teams coming up in the following week. It'll be traveling. We pray your protection over them. And we pray, God, Lord, for liberty next week as they come and worship with us, that we could have a great group and a time of worship. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go to MRO.com. Take care and God bless.